Good morning. This is Project Cargo Weekly, and we have yet another interview. And our special guest of honor today is advocate Mr. Joy Tatil of Calidus Legal. It is a law firm headquartered in India. First and foremost, Joy, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you, Mr. Ball.
It's always my pleasure to have someone from the legal profession here in my, shall we say, studio. So I will treat you the same as I do everyone else and start by asking you, how come you became a lawyer, Joy? Why are you not in a bank or driving a train or flying an airplane? Why are you a lawyer?
Oh, thank you for interesting question indeed. You know, I'm coming from a family of engineers. My father was a contractor, is a building contractor. It's a big, huge family. I have got four brothers and three sisters. Mm-hmm. And all my brothers, they're all engineers by profession. And it's a usual practice that my family is all engineers. So I'm supposed to, after my undergraduations, I'm supposed to go for my, engineering. Mm-hmm. But fortunately or unfortunately, of course, single inverted comma, I stood out from the crowd and enrolled as a lawyer. Way back in 1996, I've enrolled as a lawyer in India as a solicitor. Mm-hmm. And, legal profession, of course, it has a lot of, advantage in India. It's a very potential, highly professional, industry in India as such. And I've started my career in 1996 with another senior counsel in India. And then in 2000, I've started my independent profession in the name of Joy Tatil & Company. I've started mm-hmm. It's a company in 2000. Mm-hmm. And in 2009, of course, our Joy Tatil & Company has merged with a company called Calidus, mm-hmm. Extending, their operations in Middle East, started with Middle East. And subsequently, we have started offices, all major ports in India, including Cochin, Chennai, Mumbai, Delhi, Calcutta, and then, of course, in Dubai. Now mm-hmm. we have offices in India, Dubai, Singapore, Qatar, and Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very interesting. And of course, nobody wants to be in court with anyone else, of course. But the fact remains that sometimes claims happen. What would you say is your speciality in the field of maritime law and disputes? Is there any particular field that you, cater to mainly?
Basically, we are exclusively into shipping, all matters connected to shipping, including the admiralty, freight forwarding, NVOCCs, charter party disputes, cargo claims, claims handling, including the project cargo claims handling, logistics, all matters under admiralty, all matters under maritime law, we cater it, including okay. the charter party disputes, including the NVOCCs, everything. Okay. And we work in a different model as such. It's interesting, basically, most of the major shipping lines, most of the major freight forwarders, most of the major NVOCCs, they do have their own legal cell within the company who right. caters all the legal issues. Because, it's an expensive affair also to maintain a legal cell. To maintain a legal team within the company is definitely an expensive affair altogether. But Calidus, basically what we do, we always target the medium players. We work as an in-house legal team within the company, right? Okay. Like, it's not our physical presence may not be there in the company, but in all respect, we give legal advices, we issue legal notices, no matter where you sit. You could be okay. sitting in India, you could be sitting in Singapore, you could be sitting in Dubai, you could be sitting in Malaysia, no matter. We issue legal notices across the world. We issue legal notices and fix liability on each and every party. And also, we handle claims as well. We handle claims. Of course, we handle, legal documentation and legal vetting, including the settling the CP terms, including settling the BL terms, etc. All kind of legal advices, services we do within the company.
Okay.
And when the matter mm-hmm. comes to the litigation, then, of course, we charge separately.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
That is how, yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt that, the joke has it that we need lawyers, but people might be afraid to pick up the phone because you know that the clock starts ticking right away. And for many of our viewers who I know, they are particularly small and medium sized companies who may have a claim, but the claim might not be of an enormous amount. And often I've seen companies just forgetting it because they feel that, you know, the lawyer fee already is more than the claim would be. I mean, you say you cater to also to smaller companies, so that means you are not one of the, you are not an arrogant lawyer, so to speak, if you know what I mean.
I would say I'm not that expensive lawyer, I would say.
Yes.
When you compare with, you know, international law firms, of course, it's not that we are not that cheap. Of course, we are kind of a moderate law firms, which people can afford it. People can afford it because we charge on monthly kind of retainership with, you know, each and every shipping company. And they pay as, because they become, we enroll, you know, as the legal team, and they pay a monthly kind of a small retainer fee, which covers everything under sun. I mean, we don't even charge for issuing legal notices also. We take care of the consultation. We take care of the fixing liability of the party. We take care of the bad debts. We take care of the claims handling. We take care of the documentation. We take care of the, you know, for example, if they face any kind of a dispute with, you know, with the statutory authority, we interfere and we communicate on behalf of that said company. And of course, you know, we act as a mediator also. So sometimes, you know, we act as a mediator. For example, we have come across many instances where within the networking, you know, we have some conflict of interest with some of the companies. So we have access to all the managing directors and the management level so that we call them, sit across the table, discuss with them, mediate them, we solve it. We would be able to highlight them, look, these are the potential risks that you are going to face. These are the potential costs that you are going to pay in the of litigation, and our convincing power is more because we know black and white, we know what it is. Okay. So the people generally, you know, go by our words. I mean, okay. I know they know the facts and figures, and they mediate and solve it. This is what generally happens. Yeah.
Okay. Good to hear. And you are reachable at all times. What happens? I mean, you have your own offices in a couple of places around the world. How would you normally do if there's a claim happening in a jurisdiction where you don't necessarily have your own office? Are you then part of a bigger network of lawyers, or how would you, let's say, of course, in the global world, everything can be done online, but how would you deal with claims where you are not physically present yourself, so to speak?
That's very interesting. In fact, you know, what generally we do, all the claims handling, documentation, everything can be done online, and we can give legal advisory services also. And we can even issue the legal notice also. But the matter is not resolved, and the matter, at the end of the day, matter is going to land in as a dispute. And then, of course, we do have set of legal counsel, solicitors in the local jurisdiction. So we communicate with the local lawyers on behalf of the client. And then, of course, you know, for us, we have a special rate for the legal fees as well, because we have been regularly generating revenue for those kind of law firms, and they directly deal with them. Because we are, in terms of payments, they directly deal with the law firms. So we have been coordinating with on behalf of the client. It is always, you know, better, you know, rather than the client communicating with the lawyer, and the lawyer, of course, communicating on behalf of the client makes lots of difference, because we would be able to understand the, you know, the potential risk involved. We would be able to understand the stake involved. So we would be able to understand, you know, the subject matter of the case. So we can advise the client accordingly. Look, this is what we are, and this is where you are going to, and this would be the outcome of this particular litigation. We would be able to evaluate the case on behalf of the client, and we directly get in touch with those lawyers, wherein we don't have our offices.
Okay. And generally speaking, claims, I mean, there are different, let's say, jurisdictions around the world, but I suppose the UK is a big one for maritime disputes, UK law. What other, I'm a layman, I know nothing about this, but what can you tell us in way of jurisdictions? I've seen recently Singapore is trying to become an arbitration and mediation center, you know, for small claims. I know that London has a small claims court. What can you tell our viewers about this?
Generally, the London Maritime Arbitration Association is one of the major players in terms of arbitration in the industry across the globe. Because if you look at the terms of BL, most of the shipping lines, they always put London Maritime Arbitration Association in terms of arbitration to settle a maritime claim or a maritime lien, you know, those kind of disputes. But now the situation has changed a lot, you know, because Singapore is also developing, no, they have already developed Singapore Maritime Arbitration Centers, SIAC and SCMA. In fact, they've developed a very beautiful arbitration center, very cost effective. You don't need to, for the small cost claims, you don't need to go to the Singapore as such. All pleadings, the documentations can be done online, and they will fix a hearing date also. If the matter involved is so high, stake is so high, probably you can travel to Singapore in one sitting, this can be closed. Otherwise, they would even entertain online arbitration as well, even in UK, even in UK. And coming back to the legal aspect, you know, you are asking because, you know, as you know better than me, because in the industry, in the shipping industry, most of the disputes are based on various conventions. You know, there is no regulatory statute. For example, if you look at the in UAE, UAE has got a code called UAE Maritime Code, which involves almost all the international conventions. It's very interesting because if we look at that code, it involves all the international conventions. That means it's not a common law country. It's not a common law country. But at the same time, you know, if you read lines in between, they have accepted all the major conventions, you know, passed by, you know, in different countries. And they follow the same. And even in UK also, even in Singapore also, in Europe also, all the disputes are based on conventions, not on a regulatory statutes. Only the procedural aspects would be different. For example, if you come to India, the procedural aspect could be different. And at the same time, if you come to UK, the procedural aspect could be different. But end of the day, the crux of the law is based on the convention. So there won't be any problem. You can handle any kind of disputes anywhere in the globe or maritime law. That is what my point of view is.
So of course, these conventions, they are signed by countries. So it would be important that the countries you're dealing with have signed, shall we say, this or that convention, right?
Absolutely. If they have not signed, again, the point is they have not signed those conventions, then again, they will have to undergo the local laws of the country. Which is practically very, very, very difficult.
It's of course interesting that you are based out of India and have an Indian background, because I'm sure you have seen a lot of difficult claims in your country, and it's such a huge country with different kinds of business. You are certainly in the right place for knowing what troublesome cases can be like, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and especially what I like very much is that you seem to have let's say the open door also to smaller and medium sized companies who often through no fault of their own find themselves in a dispute and they kind of give up straight away, you know, where they shouldn't give up because of something.
See, in fact, Mr. Bo, you know, people would be happy. I mean, in the sense, like, you know, we have almost 150 to 200 retainers with us. You know, interestingly, it's all small retainers, you know, $1,000, $1,500. It's all very, very small retainers in a month. And we cater the entire, because they get a very you know, strong legal team within the company. It's 24/7. You can get in touch with us over phone, on WhatsApp, or on mail. You know, look, we have an issue, then we are actually stepping in the shoes of the client and addressing.
Yeah.
Because they are representing the company. So it's for them, it's because people like, you know, the management level, you know, the director level, they don't have to spend time on these kind of claims. You know, they just pass on the same to us, and the ball will pass on to us and we'll handle it. So people, as far as for the time being, people are happy with that. I'm sure about it.
How is, like, for example, in our shipping business where I'm educated, when you want references about a company, you try and find out from the market, how is the reputation, how is the name? What do you do in the lawyer profession? For example, if somebody wants to know, oh, Calidus legal law firm, how are they? What is their track record? Is there any place where you go and see rating or ranking or you know, like a trip advisor, I like this hotel very much, or you know what I mean?
I got it. See, because we have, there are parameters. For example, legal 500, there are Chambers and Partners, there are many parameters, of course, you can see. And on top of it, though, this is a very small industry. You know, see, if you, for example, if I join in your network system, I know many people because I never know that they are members. Because they all say, hi, Joy, how are you? Because they all know. I mean, at least 5 to 10 I know personally, very close friend of mine. So they are all in the system. So, it all depends on by word. Particularly, Canada's Legal has never ever done any kind of marketing. And we are not supposed to market also, honestly speaking, because it all based on the credibility that you maintain. It's a very important thing. And if you look at the track record, if one of the client you say that, look, the Canada's is not that competent, it's very dangerous, because I don't want to take that kind of a risk. See, whatever the job that you have been doing for a client, and if you commit one mistake, that will spread over because the market is very small. I mean, it's a very small network across the country, across the world,
So, No, but it's like they say, it takes a decade to build up a reputation and it takes a day to destroy it. So I fully echo what you're saying here. No, but this sounds very interesting. And where would you say, you mentioned now Singapore again, is this relatively new? That is Singapore trying to compete with London for business? How is it, what is the real status
here? It's interesting because basically, small players, they don't want to go to London and spend money because if you look at even the small players' BL terms, you can see that London Maritime Arbitration Association will be the arbitration center in London, which is definitely expensive for sure, no doubt about it, because they charge hourly basis and all, it's damn expensive for sure. And now Singapore, they took advantage out of it and they've started, Singapore Maritime Arbitration Center, wherein they have came up with a package for the small cost claims.
Okay.
Wherein, the professional charges, arbitrator charges is very less, and you can get a quick decision also. And the credibility of the arbitrator is also so high when you compare with, other jurisdictions. So the people in this particular region, they always prefer Singapore Maritime Arbitration Centers because quick decisions, competent arbitrators, less expensive.
Yes.
Therefore, now we have reached a situation where the London Maritime Arbitration also, they were also trying to reduce, the cost-wise because, as you know, we are all coming through a very tough time, particularly during pandemic. I'm sure that some of the shipping lines, of course, they made money out of it, but of course, some of them have burned their fingers as well. So those, considering those aspects, the LMMA has also reduced their fee structure. They have also reduced the fee pattern as well. They have introduced the small cost claims. They entertain the online submissions, they entertain the online arbitration also. Mm-hmm. So they are also doing a lot of reformations and regulations to accommodate small players as well. Because otherwise, the point is, there are many players. Now, if you look at Malaysia, there are Malaysian arbitration centers, equally competent. Because arbitrators from Singapore also, they sit in Malaysia and they do it. Again, the cost is less. So if your claim is only $100,000 or $200,000, then you don't have to go to London Maritime Arbitration Association. You go and apply in Singapore or in Malaysia.
So
and you get a judgment.
Yes. Now I think that is good news. I mean, maybe the whole profession was in lack of let's say a reform. I mean, because it has been traditionally London and everyone was scared going there if the claim was a smaller size. So,
Mr. Bo, even in GCC countries also, you take a Saudi. Saudi is a potential market for many freight forwarders and UOCs and shipping because they are going to encourage the shipping industry. They want to, develop Saudi as a hub, something like in Dubai. They're taking a lot of effort for that. Yeah.
Right. Yes. No. It's already visiting Dubai, which is such a hub for the whole world now, and of course with a huge Indian influence. I'm quite pleased to know that we met already once in Dubai, and hence this interview, that you have a strong relationship in that region, which is growing. Concerning the huge market of China, how do you see that as if you have a claim against a Chinese company? Do you have contacts and relationships there as well?
Honestly, Bo, we have had come across bad experiences in China region, in Chinese region. It is particularly because of the language issue, because we never had any issue in GCC countries,
Right.
though the official language is in Arabic, because we find this very comfortable zone in GCC countries. But in China, we have had come across bad experience,
Right.
particularly with the language issues and language problem. And again, if you look at the conventions, China is not signatory to a couple of other conventions also. So
Right.
they have their own regulations and they have their own code. So it would be indeed hard, to fix a liability in China and to, get some relief out of it. Of course, you have to have completely 100%, you are completely depending on Chinese law firm, but
yeah.
They are extremely good, extremely professional. If you look at Shanghai, Beijing and all, even in Guangzhou also, extremely good law firms, brilliant, brilliant people. And in the matters in China, what candidates do, because we have good presence in Singapore, we're in Singapore law firms. In fact, we have good Chinese speaking law firms.
Yes.
So we make use of them. We take advantage out of that. And then we take services of these Chinese speaking lawyers in Singapore. And then we exchange the communication through these law firms and do the documentation through them so that we will have a complete idea, because that control is with us, what to do, what not to do, what to write and what not to write, and what advice we need to give to the client at the end of the day. So that in that way we are a little comfortable zone, since we have a presence in Singapore as well.
Yes.
Otherwise, if you go and fix a liability as against a Chinese company, a Chinese shipping company, and defending or contesting a litigation in China, you may come across a little rough or tough kind of situation.
Yes, yes. Now it's I used to live there for some years, so I echo what you're saying. The country is so big now, and throwing their weight around also in shipping worldwide. So it's really something to both China and the US in a way have many similarities. You can get in trouble in both places very, very quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
Listen, Joy, I think you have answered the questions which kind of came to my mind efficiently and clearly, and I'm quite confident that many of our viewers and listeners will certainly be in touch with you. I think I would like to say many, many thanks to you for giving me your time and answering a few questions here. Thank you very much, Joy.
Thank you, Bo. Thank you so much. Pleasure is mine. Thank you.
And to all our listeners, readers, and followers from around the world, this was yet another exclusive interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our guest today has been Mr. Joy Tatil. He's an advocate with Calidus Legal Law Firm, headquartered in India, but have global presence. And it's been a very interesting talk indeed. Do stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you very much.